Happy Easter and welcome to The Living Stone, a podcast from Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. As we celebrate Easter, Pastor Chrissy's sermon was titled, Will Jesus Be in Church Today? Here are Trish and Pat Boone with this Sunday's scripture readings from Matthew and Colossians.
Matthew 28, 1 through 10. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord, descending from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me."
Colossians 3, 1 through 4. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Sisters and brothers, this is the good news. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed.
A man was driving his children to church one Easter Sunday when he was trying to explain the significance of the holiday. Long before the bunny and the Easter egg hunts, Easter was a day of celebration because Jesus had defeated death. And he'd risen from the grave, he explained to his young children. He'd risen from the dead. Jesus is alive. And just as the dad started to get going, a kid piped up from the back row, a three-year-old, and said, "So, will he be in church today?" Well, it may sound silly, but it's a fair question after all. Church is exactly where we would expect the resurrected Christ to be, is it not? Especially on Easter Sunday. Well, that's why the pews are packed. That's why the flowering crosses are full. That's why the brass players are in place and the offering plates overflow. We wake up early. We get all dressed up. We all gather together for one of the holiest days in the Christian year. Because Jesus is alive. And we've all come to church to see it for ourselves. Well, except this year, unlike every other year, we didn't. We didn't come together to celebrate the resurrection this year instead. We find ourselves reading the story from Matthew's gospel, not in our full sanctuary, but in the stillness of our own homes. This year instead, we find ourselves reading the story of Mary Magdalene and the other Mary who went to see the tomb, perhaps sounding a little bit like that three-year-old from the back row of the SUV. Will Jesus be in church today? Will Jesus be in the tomb today? And perhaps like the two Marys, we are a little stunned when we arrive to see that the church is as empty as the tomb. There's not a soul in sight at church this Easter Sunday. The disciples are all gathered in their homes. They're waiting for a sign that the coast is clear and that everything can get back to normal. As we read from our home churches, I wonder if both Marys, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, and all the other disciples who chose not to accompany them to the tomb that day, I wonder if they really believed that things would ever get back to normal. They'd already uprooted their lives once to follow Jesus around Galilee, feeding the hungry and healing the sick and liberating the oppressed, welcoming the marginalized. They'd been listening to Jesus. They'd been learning from him. They'd been learning about God's love and mercy and forgiveness. They'd already given up everything once to follow this Jesus. And they knew with their minds that Jesus would suffer and die because he had told them it would be so. And now I wonder, did they wait for Jesus to defeat death and walk back into their lives just as he had done before so that they could pick up where they left off and get back to work? Were they looking for Jesus in all the most conventional places? Well, whatever they were expecting, I suppose we will never know. But whatever they were expecting, the way that the story unfolded seems to have taken everyone by surprise. The earth quakes as the women approach the tomb and the angel appears. Matthew tells us that the guards were so overwhelmed with fear that they fainted. And just before the women did exactly the same thing, the angel opens his mouth and says, "Do not be afraid. I come that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. I know that you have come to find him here, but look in the tomb. He is not there." And when the women recognize that things are not exactly as they had imagined, when they recognize that the tomb is empty and Jesus was not where they thought he would be, they heeded the words of the angel and they quickly changed course. The whole action of the story dramatically speeds up as the women who peacefully walked over to see the tomb, perhaps to sit outside and to remember what was lost, they are now running away. Running quickly back to their homes and neighborhoods with the news that Jesus is not at all where they thought he would be. Jesus wasn't in the tomb. The tomb was empty. Despite the fact that we have read this gospel story over and over and over again, many of us are, for the first time today, realizing that Jesus is not in the church on this Easter Sunday. The church is as empty as the tomb on that first Easter morn. And like the first disciples, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, we also had our own set of expectations about what this day would bring. We had our own ideas that were defined by our own understanding of what was possible in the first place. Just a few weeks ago, we were planning choral anthems. We were rehearsing children's choirs. We were prepping our Easter dresses, imagining where the family pictures would take place. We were having conversations about whether the flowering cross would be in the sanctuary or whether we would put it outside for the whole community to see. We even had a baptism scheduled for this morning. Just a few weeks ago, we were planning our holiday lunches. We were dreaming of an Easter that looked just like the ones we have grown accustomed to, just like the ones we have grown to love. Just a few weeks ago, we were counting on an Easter that seemed like a revised version of years past, maybe with a few improvements here or there, but not too many. But now, given recent events, we have come to recognize that nothing this Easter will feel like the years past. Nothing will be even close to what we'd expected. Everything has changed. So this year, as we read from Matthew's gospel, we know the story in a different kind of sense. We have known it with our minds for many years as we've heard the good news, Christ is risen. But this year, we know the story with our guts. We know the story with all of who we are because we can feel it. We can feel the grief, we can feel the shock, we can feel the fear, right along with Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. We know what it is to find Jesus in all the conventional places, but now the very hub of those conventions is closed until further notice. Well, maybe in lieu of the flowering cross, we should have simply posted a sign on our doors. Perhaps the sign should have read simply, "He isn't here." The church is empty. like the father in the car who explained Easter to his young children. A story of another father comes to mind, a priest who had gathered with his parish on Holy Saturday for an Easter vigil, as was the custom in the Nicaraguan base community where he served. And as the sun began to peek above the horizon, they read the same gospel lesson that we read this morning. It was their custom that as they began to talk about the text, they also interpreted it together. And they layered it with the stories of their own lives as poor laborers living in Nicaragua in the 1970s. Considering the resurrection, they remembered that everything was different after the cross. There was no way after that for things to simply pick back up and return to normal. There was too much pain, there was too much grief, too much loss, and too much fear. And that if the women who went to the tomb, if they wanted to find Jesus on that Easter morning, then they too were going to have to get themselves on the road to Galilee. Christ isn't going to be in the tomb, the Nicaraguan peasants intuitively understood. They knew it because life had taught them that Christ was alive, and that in Christ's own resurrection, Christ was already on the road, up ahead of them, up ahead of you, up ahead of me, headed to Galilee, where the work of feeding the hungry and healing the sick and liberating the oppressed carries on. Christ is risen, and Christ is alive in the hearts and lives of all who desire resurrection and a new creation, they said. You see, the folks who had gathered in Nicaragua, they knew that Christ wouldn't be in the tomb. Christ can't be in the tomb, and Christ isn't in the empty church. Christ is up ahead. Christ is on the road to Galilee. Christ is on the road to Greystone Village and to Cedar Point. Christ is already up ahead of us on the road to Stonehenge, to Springmore, to Falls River, and to Whispering Pines. Christ is risen and has left the building. Christ is up ahead and on the way to North Hills and Creedmoor, to Midtown and Wake Forest, and to every other neighborhood in North Raleigh. Christ is alive, and Christ is calling for us to get up and get on the road and to live and dwell amongst the people. Just like the women who discovered the empty tomb 2,000 years ago, we are called not to linger beside that which is gone. We are called not to cling to that which is empty, but instead to get ourselves on the road to Galilee. He's up ahead of you, the angel said. He's on the road. Go and tell the others what you've seen. He will meet you there. Don't cling to the tomb. Don't weep too long and focus on what might have been. Instead, get back on the road. And let's get back to where the people are. Let's get back to building that new world, focusing on the things that are of God, as Paul says in the letter to the Colossians. When we do that, when we focus on the things above, our lives reveal the glory of the resurrected Christ through kindness and humility, through meekness and patience, and compassion. And as these things begin to flow forth from our lives, we participate in resurrection. In the words of Paul, we rise with Christ. Thinking back on that little three-year-old who sat in the back seat of an SUV and bravely posed the question, "Will Jesus be in church today?" I can't help but think about how I might have answered that question for my own child in years gone by. Well, of course Jesus will be in church today, and you'll see him in the hearts of the people whose lives bear witness to the resurrection. They're going to be in church. They'll be gathered all around you. Of course Jesus will be in church today. But this year, nothing is quite how it used to be. In fact, we wouldn't even find ourselves in that car. We wouldn't be piled in an SUV headed to church together trying to explain the mystery of the resurrection, would we? No. Instead, we find ourselves in households, gathering on our sofas to watch the service from TVs or laptops or other devices, and still we wonder if we heard from the voice of a child shouting out that brave and persistent question, "Will Jesus be in church today?" I wonder if somehow we could point to the tremendous displays of self-giving love shown by medical workers and teachers and grocery store workers who put their own lives at risk to ensure that our communities are cared for and nourished in these unprecedented days. Perhaps we might remember those who cannot work from home, whose businesses were closed down and whose incomes immediately suspended, so that our community might not suffer. Perhaps as we consider the question, we might join others on the road to Galilee as they work to ensure that all are fed and all are sheltered and all have access to the health care that they need and that no one is forgotten in this season of chaos and confusion and distance and isolation. Perhaps as we wait for the new world to come, to open up before us, we might get ourselves back on the road to Galilee, risen with Christ, practicing resurrection through simple acts of kindness with the neighbors we come into contact with. Because today we know that Christ is indeed risen, but he isn't in the church. And the hope of Easter is precisely that. The hope of Easter is that Christ is up ahead in Galilee. Christ is alive. And Christ is working through the hands of essential workers. Christ is risen. And we all get our footing in the chaos of the season. Christ is risen among us and beside us and within us. Christ is risen, and we can trust that indeed Christ is up ahead, working to build a new church for a new world. But Christ is also right where we are, meeting us on the road, in our homes and in our neighborhoods, as we take those first steps of resurrected faith, placing our feet on the road to Galilee, embracing this season for what it is, and continuing the work of the resurrected Christ in our world. Sisters and brothers, the hope of Easter is this: Christ isn't in the church today. Christ is with us as we make cloth masks in our homes. Christ is with us as we deliver food to those who need it. Christ is with us as we learn how to homeschool rowdy children. Christ is with us as we sit in the midst of worry and despair and deep loneliness. Christ isn't in the church today, but Christ is resurrected in displays of love for our neighbors. Christ isn't in the church today, but in all new ways, we are experiencing that Christ is indeed alive and with us yesterday, today, and tomorrow the same. Alleluia. Christ is risen. Amen.